Thank you once again for joining us at our Friday Financial Forum through this virtual program and on the radio. Again, we greatly appreciate you to continue to support what we're doing out here. And just remember, in the future, we don't know that date, but in the future, we will be back in this room. But before I go on with the program, there's just a couple of things I need to mention and make sure I get this announcement out. Starting today until the end of May, our program will start at 9:45 to 10:15. It's been from 9:30 to 10, but that change will take place today on this particular Friday. We've had to make that change due to our elected delegation called the Capitol Call. As you well know, a lot of you have listened to that many, many times. That program, we need to just fit everything in so we can make this adjustment. Remember, 9:45 to 10:15. So now at this time, to get our program started, I have invited no stranger to this room. I've invited Pat and Jerry DeSarmo to come and give our pledge. Welcome and thank you for coming, and please give our pledge.
Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pat and Jerry, thank you very, very much. We greatly appreciate that. I truly hope everybody's still just being very safe, being careful. Just hope everything's going quite well for you. I just got to tell you, when I talk to you on the telephone and I see you, I just miss seeing everybody. But remember, we will be back here one of these days. Which leads right into one of these days. I'd like to once again introduce Kim Adams, the president of our bank, to give us an RVest moment update. Kim, welcome.
Good morning, Earl. Thank you so much. Appreciate being here with you as usual. I did want to give an update on our mortgage results for 2020. As many of you know, you watched and you heard Sonia and Josh talk about rates last year and that rates were on the decline most of the year. And so we had a lot of customers refinance. We also saw a lot of customers purchase new homes, even second homes. It was just kind of a crazy year, but our mortgage team did a fantastic job. Many of you know that RVest is in four states, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Kansas. And so I wanted to let you know that we did $4.6 billion in mortgage production for 2020. So very proud of our mortgage teams. Many of you know, hopefully you have mortgages with us and that we service those mortgages ourselves. And so again, just very, very proud of our team. Here in Bartlesville, we did over $53 million in mortgage production for 2020. So just really wanted to give a shout out, one, to customers who came to us and expected and knew that we would take care of them for often their largest financial transaction of their lives. So thank you to those of you who have trusted us to do your mortgage, whether it be a purchase or a refinance. And again, a big shout out to our mortgage team. Earl, I think that's all I have.
Thank you, Kim. Greatly appreciate that. And I just want to do a shout out. I guarantee you, they do a phenomenal job. And what one of the greatest things you can have is a home ownership. And did I hear you say that? $53 million, part of that $4 billion. So we were in the hunt, were we not? All right, thank you for all you do. Thank you, customers. All right, our guest today and our speaker is Congressman Kevin Herm. I've asked the congressman to give us an update, which he's always absolutely delighted to do that. But in this particular case, the congressman could not be here. He is in D.C., but it was important enough for us and for him. He's going to tape it, and we're going to dub it in. So this should be not interesting. I'm looking forward to this. But again, our guest today is Congressman Herm.
Hello. I hope everybody's doing well today. It's thanks for having me here today. Unfortunately, I can't be there. Trust me, I'd much rather be in Bartlesville today than to be here in Washington, D.C., dealing with some of the craziness we're dealing with. So before we get started here, I just want to say thank you. And so let's get going here, and I'll tell you what we're working on and what's been going on up here as we try to move forward sort of with policies that really matter to folks in Oklahoma. As we've seen what's happened the first couple of weeks in the Biden administration, obviously January 20th came, and President Biden, Joe Biden, said that he wanted to work in unity, and everything he's done since then has done nothing but destroy American jobs with the stroke of a pen. And I'm sure you all have seen many of the commercials that are out there that are showing some of these workers. And then you're also seeing on the newscast where people are being interviewed to talk about what he's done. And really, what Joe Biden has really wanted to do is just his whole mission right now is just to undo what President Trump has done. And if you look at the executive orders that he's done this by, there's not been one thing that Joe Biden has done in 2 weeks through Congress. And so his first action in Congress right now, in fact, we're getting ready to have a meeting on this in just a minute, is to push forward a budget resolution, which is not even a budget. It's to do budget reconciliation. So it's a shell game to push $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. If you look at the executive actions that Joe Biden has done, what he has done is created more in 2 weeks than the last three presidents have done combined in a month. So this is really more of a dictatorship than it is a representative republic. So very frustrating to see what's happened, you know, how the press is not holding him accountable for what he said. It's been really not a war on poverty. Joe Biden's had a war on prosperity. As we're trying to recover here, he's destroying job after job after job in America, whether it be in the fossil fuel industry, sending these jobs to China and India, or allowing open borders on the South that we've worked so hard over the last 4 years under President Trump to get closed down. And so, you know, again, if we go through and look at each one of these, you know, it's very frustrating to see what he did by allowing us to get back into, putting us back into the Paris Climate Accords without holding China or India accountable for the immense growth in their CO2 emissions. And with what we've seen with their research lab there with Phillips 66 and ConocoPhillips, what they've done in working on helping our gas producers or oil producers in the country to lower CO2 emissions over the last two decades. We're an example for the rest of the world. We shouldn't be penalized in spending American taxpayer dollars to join an accord where there is no, there's no accountability with China and India, two of the largest superpowers in the world that continue to grow CO2 emissions. Very frustrating. Most don't know around the country how important fossil fuels are to our state. And, you know, it counts for over 35% of our budget, 35% of our public education dollars, almost 40% of our salaries or labor dollars generated in our state. So very, very important to Oklahoma and individuals, and especially talking to a community like this, and especially talking to the RVS Forum, where many of you all are retirees from Phillips 66 and other fossil fuel industries in our state, something that's made us very proud. And certainly what we've seen the last 3 years to be energy dominant, and know that under President Trump, we didn't start any new wars around the world. And that's really because of our energy dominance, being a net exporter of fossil fuels around the world, net exporter of clean fossil fuels around the world. So a lot that we can do, and certainly shutting down our fossil fuel or hydrocarbon community is not what we need to be, the direction we need to be going. There's been a lot of you and many people around the district, and quite frankly, around the country that I've talked to, that have continued to ask me, say, you've been in business your entire life and you had to solve problems. What is wrong with Congress? And so we did this, we've been working on this roadmap to congressional reform, how we could reform Congress to make it a place that the American people could start trusting again. And as you look at some of these areas, one, the first one is we have to get new thinking in Washington, D.C. We did this several years ago in our own state. Many states across the country now have their own state constitutional term limits for their governors, for their state house and state senate seats, and their statewide seats, just like we do in Oklahoma. Except for in the United States Congress, no House member, no Senate member has a term limit. And when you see that in Congress, the average time in Congress now is 8 years, yet the leadership of the Democrat Party is over 40. And I saw a number the other day that said that the average stay of Democrats in Congress is over 16 years. And that's because you have people like Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn have been there for over 40 years, where the Republicans is much less than that just because of the sheer amount of turnover. And I think members of the Republican Party across the country wanting new blood from time to time if we're not performing. And I think that's rightfully so. Nothing polls higher in the United States than term limits. It polls in the high 80 percentile range. American people understand whether you're a Democrat or Republican. And by the way, we've been getting tremendous amount of positive input from Democrats. People who have been consistent haters of my policies up to this point have been praising this roadmap to congressional reform. And so very excited about that. The second part of this is our basic fundamental job of creating a budget. You and your home, the city of Bartlesville, the county of Washington, Washington County, the state of Oklahoma, you all, and you personally have to create a budget so that you know with the amount of money that you're taking in, how do you pay for things and how are you going to spend that money? So as we look at that, it's important for us to work on a budget. And if we don't do a budget, we shouldn't be going home on the weekends. We should stay here till we get it done. And we certainly shouldn't get paid until we do one. So if we can't do a budget and within the time frame, then we should not be paying us beyond that point. Our constitutional duty to produce a budget to be better stewards of your taxpayer dollars. And so as we look at this going forward, two of the things that I've noticed are really important is people who are career politicians who go to Washington, D.C., they're looking for what the next gig is. And the next gig is usually lobbying. And lobbying right now is you can do this kind of 1 to 2 years after you leave office. So you're pandering to people on K Street, industry people, and then you immediately leave Congress and go make, 5, 10, 20 times the money you're making in Congress. And so what we've done is we've introduced a part that says you have to wait 10 years to the time you leave Congress until you can become a lobbyist, whether it be a domestic lobbyist for somebody in the United States or an international lobbyist for like China or India. And then as we look at some of the other things like read the bill, something as simple as read the contract that you're going to go vote on, which is your political signature. And then finally, the last two are looking at, what it has to do with getting off of this idea of getting off your pension. You can't even take yourself off of the pension program. It's an automatic area that is so important that we, folks who don't need a pension, don't want a pension, like myself, could be able to opt out of. There's no opt-out clause. I'm very excited about the opportunity to take my business experiences. I just got asked to serve on Ways and Means, which is a very important committee for the First District and for Oklahoma and quite frankly for the country. We haven't had anybody on the Ways and Means Tax Policy Committee in trade for over 20 years in Oklahoma. And so excited about that opportunity to do it. We had our first meeting today. I can see it's going to be very exciting for the things we're looking at to help businesses in America, to help the individuals, to work on things that are so important. The most important policy area is health. And so we're looking forward to be excited about working on those things as well. Again, it's busy today. It's good to be busy today. I apologize for not being with you, but I wanted to send you this little message to encourage you to, I thank you for your prayers, for the kind notes and the text messages that many of you send me and Tammy as we go through these days of dealing with the craziness in Washington, D.C. I thank you for your tremendous support, and I look forward to being able to get back up there and see you all. And you all be nice to Earl. He's a great man. Appreciate you all so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Congressman. We really appreciate that update in regards to what's going on at the federal level. Now, at this time, we're going to wrap up the program. Now, I got to tell you, I'm even going to tell you, this joke's pathetic, but here we go. What is a reptile's favorite movie? The Lizard of Oz.
Boo.
That is bad, is it not, Josh?
Yes.
But I got to tell you, I picked a bunch of them yesterday and gave them to Stevie, and there's a couple of them. I think all four of them I gave to her yesterday are pretty good. So anyway, you'll hear those in the future. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. And again, I'm going to wrap it up and introduce our financial update. But I just want to reinforce, and I'll do it at the end of our program. Our new program hours are 9:45 to 10.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with a Professional, a paid